One of these old men, there was one old fellow there. Can't think of his name right now.
Crazy Horse?
No, it wasn't Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse died young.
Oh, he did?
He was in my family. Crazy Horse.
I know, I heard you say that.
Yeah. Right. He's a Lakota in the Teton.
Lakota, yeah. You know, yeah. The Durango fought for 30 years against the United States.
But there was one, I can't think of his name now, that fought with Geronimo. He was 75 years old, still fighting. You know how Apaches fought? Mm-hmm. How'd they fight?
Bow and arrow?
Huh? Bow and arrow. They didn't ride horses. They ran. An Apache boy, when he was 5 years old, had to run 5 miles with a drink of water in his mouth. And come back and spit that drink of water out. Or else he got beat.
Did you know that guy, what's his name, that ran in the Olympics, the Indian boy?
Jim Thorpe.
No, not Jim Thorpe, the one that Robbie Benson played in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Running back.
Yeah.
What was his name? Billy Mills.
Yeah, I didn't know him. Billy Jim Mills. Thorpe.
True story.
Yeah. Jim Thorpe was a...
Oh, yeah, I know Jim Thorpe was a...
Yeah.
From Oklahoma.
Yeah. That was all...
Your
mother
was an Indian.
Oklahoma Indians. Well, my family all... My family, none of my family... None of my family came from Oklahoma originally. But they ended up in Oklahoma, so they came to California from Oklahoma. Completely. But they had come from the Far East, not the Far East, over there across the waters, but the East in the Midwest, that's where they came from. And anyway, they moved them as they evacuated all of that land and took over the Indian land. They put them in Oklahoma, which was called Indian Territory. The first senator of Oklahoma was my great-grandfather. His name was Sam Paul. And then I had another senator of Oklahoma, Shatswell. That was related to, on my father's side of the family. But old Geronimo Nate was his name, I believe. Nate. He was 75 years old, still fighting when he surrendered. He was young still. Some of those Apaches, but Apaches didn't fight on horseback. They would use horses. They'd get on a horse, steal a horse or something, and ride it till it fell dead, and then they'd eat it. They didn't have any compassion for horses at all. And they were warriors. That's all. They didn't grow anything at all. They didn't even hunt a lot. What they did was go and steal. They went down into Mexico, and they would steal and go down in there and steal cattle or whatever, and then they would raid the other Indian tribes all over the place. But they didn't do anything as far as productivity other than warring. And they were raised to be warriors. I said a 5-year-old child had to run 5 miles, a boy, with a drink of water in his mouth to spit the drink of water out. When he was 12 years old, he had to run 50 miles. And then they said that they could run 100 miles when they were full grown, around 15 years old.
Yeah,
100 miles. And they could outrun a horse or anything, and they could slip in the land and they could live off of absolutely nothing. And Geronimo fought off the whole United States Army for like 30 years with just a few people. Can you imagine? They were all over the country looking for him. And he, if he hadn't given up, they would have never got him. And my grandfather knew Geronimo. He was, my grandfather was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. He was in the Army there. And of course, he's kind of hiding out. He didn't want anybody to know he's Indian. He was full-blood Cherokee. But this was before World War I.
That's probably how they got to train those military guys, like Green Berets, Navy SEALs.
They trained them like the Indians fought, or what they call guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare, yeah.
Daniel Boone and things like that, they fought. The reason why they fought so well is they fought like Indians. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of respect for the Indian people. But that's a little historical things there. There were... If you wanted to call a bad Indian, what they call bad Indians, that would be Apaches. Comanches were real close to being the same thing. About Comanches were horse soldiers. Now, they used horses. They considered a horse as an extension of themselves.
There was a mixture from the Spaniards. The Spaniards invented the Comanche Indians in Mexico.
Well, they were a Plains Indian, the Comanche Indians. They were related to the Sioux, and they had moved across there. Now, a lot of the Apache blood, the Indians, Originally, before the white man came to this country, they would go raid another Indian village. You know why they did that? There was a reason for it. Why did they raid other Indian villages? To put new blood in their family. They didn't go in there to kill. They didn't kill anybody. Except for the Apaches. Now, they did. But all the other Indians, all from the Midwest all the way back to the East, they would raid other Indian tribes so they could get them wives. They steal children, you know, and they'd raise them up and adopt them into the tribe, and they would be part of the tribe, so they'd have new blood. Every tribe was a family of Indians, was a family. Wherever they were, that was a family. And they had to have new blood because everybody was cousins. You couldn't marry, and they didn't believe in marrying cousins at all. That was, you know, of course, God had told them these things before he ever divided the earth, and they had certain rules that were taboo, wrong, and that was one of them. Marrying cousins. Let's have a word of prayer before we get going. Please remember us. I've attained a new lawyer. It's going to cost a whole lot more money. He's going to go try to straighten out all the mistakes that were made. And there were a lot of them. And see if we can do something to get Dakota finally saved. It's going to cost us at least another $10,000. That's a lot of money. And we don't have it, but we've got to protect our dollar. That's as simple as that. It's a lot of corruption has gone on in this thing. And that's the main thing that I fought in it. So please remember that in your prayers. I've got to do a lot of paperwork and everything this week. And I hate to do it because it takes away from my time from studying. But I've got to get this stuff done. Please remember us. And please remember Dakota also. And the attorney, his name's Ed Thomas. He's also a judge. And he's supposed to be the best there is here. But this is a mess. This case was a mess. So, and it was meant to be a mess from the other side. She did that on purpose to cover up a lot of things. Do you have any prayer requests? Remember my family also, my mother and my dad. Remember them in your prayers. And my sister and the family we have lost, my nephew, everything that they have. I pray that this will bring them to God in a real way, not just something to do, but a real relationship with the Lord. And that's, if, you know, things like this happen sometimes, and sometimes it turns around your life. When my grandmother got killed, I was saved. What happened to me, that was the only thing I had in this world, was my grandmother. I mean, she was the only one really that I felt loved me, and she took care of me and everything. And she gave her life for me. That was my mama, really. And when she died, my whole world just fell apart. And I was going to church a little bit before that, and she was going to church too, some. And when she was killed, God was really convicting me. I wanted to be with my grandmother. You know, we were separated, and I had a hard time. And I went down and asked the Lord to save me. I didn't know anything about salvation at all, but the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, and that I needed to be saved. And I went down in a Pentecostal church and was saved.
Same thing. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed to be saved.
I learned after that it was not in that church. I can't say that I learned any of the Bible in that church at all when I went there for about 6 years. And I don't know if I learned anything. Really, to tell you the truth. But the Holy Spirit worked. If a frog could croak the gospel, I'm not kidding now. If a frog could croak the gospel, He would honor his word. If a parrot could preach it or anything, he will honor that word. That's an absolute fact. I don't care who's up there. I don't care if it's some absolute rank heretic. When my daughter was saved, you know how she was saved? She'd come home abused from her mother's. And one night, and I mean she was all messed up and she couldn't go to sleep. And I went in there and I got a tape from the Mormons on Jesus' life. And I played that tape for her, and she asked Jesus into her heart and asked him to save her. Watching this heretic cult tape. But there was enough truth in there where God used it to, even that, to save her. Thank God for that. I thank God for it. It's just one of those things. If I don't care who it is. People say to me, boy, Brother Phillips, you have really done a lot in teaching and everything all your life. I said, well, I'm nothing. But one thing I have done is I've taught the Word of God. I have taught it, and I've studied it, and God has honored that. That's what He's honored. It's not what I did at all. It's what He has done. He has honored His Word totally. He says, my Word will not return unto me void. That is an absolute truth. You can bet on it. That's it. And that's what He does if you preach the Word of God. You can use illustrations and everything else. Sometimes people's sermons are more illustrations than they are in the Word of God. I try to put enough illustrations to keep you, and to teach you things too. I like to teach you things to keep your mind going, and then zap you with the Word of God. And I do it all in my little illustrations that I've lived in my life and the funny things that I have done.
There are a lot of distractions in your life, but you still stick to it.
There have been a lot of distractions in my life. There's a lot right now.
You've been attacked all kinds of ways.
Yeah, well, I love God. I love Him. And I love His Word because it tells me about Him. And I've tried to communicate that Word to you. Some of you have been listening to me preach for 20 years or more. And I baptized both of you, all three of you, I guess, 20 years ago or so.
You baptized most of our
my mom,
my
brother Joe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, almost all the Montreal family.
Levine
was, well, a lot of you.
Yeah.
Levine, I think, was
about the same time. Me and that was it.
Levine was about the first one of the family that I baptized. Of course, the church baptized them. I just did the performance of it. You know, that's quite a deal. That's truth, too. Truth. I've always tried to teach you truth. I had a wonderful illustration of truth this last week that was bound on me. I think all kinds of things that I try to make something out of it to teach. That's what Jesus did. He taught parables. I traded for this little old watch. How many of you remember the Longines Whitnour Hour? Remember a long time ago? Longines, the Whitnour is the bottom of the grade. Longines is pretty much up there. And then Le Coultre is the top watch deal for that company. Well, I saw this watch here in Bishop, and I always collected watches all my life. That's a real good way to invest money. You can invest them, and you know, the bank doesn't give you a statement, and every year you don't have to pay taxes on what your investments are. It's hidden investment. And you can have that, and they're a sought-after commodity because there's a lot of watch collectors and not a lot of watches like these left in the world. You know, they have to go around, so they're worth a lot of money. Anyway, I went in there, and I traded more than I bought watches. But I went into this place and Bishop up there, and I saw this watch in there, and I looked at it. It's solid gold, and it was supposed to just come back from Pacific Time, which was supposed to be a real good watchmaker outfit down in Los Angeles. I talked this woman, and I finally traded her about 20 watches for this watch. And it's solid 14-karat gold. But it never ran. It would never run. I went took it to church, and I have to watch my watch all the time when I'm teaching, so I don't want to run over it, okay? And I took it one time, and I just kept on preaching, I think about 30 minutes long. The watch stopped. Anyway, and here is the high grade movement. You know, it's not adjusted. Remember we talk about adjusted movements? This one's not an adjusted movement. And what I mean that adjustments is when they build a watch, if it's a high grade, when you lay it this way, it's adjusted for that position, adjusted for that position, adjusted for that position, and that position.
It won't.
There's an adjustment in it that adjusts for every one of those positions. And there's six positions in a watch. If it is fully adjusted, it's adjusted for six positions plus hot and cold. They will take that watch before it can ever leave the factory and have a certification on it. It will be, before it's certified, they have to put it in an oven that goes down to below zero. And it has to keep time with all those six positions the same. And they take it up and heat it up to 130 degrees in the oven. And it has to take, if you see an adjusted watch, That watch has been through that if it comes from Switzerland. That's one of the only places. And if it was 14 karat gold, they will test the gold in Switzerland. And if it's 13 karat gold, they take a hammer and smash the watch. So that's what you call, if you're trying to cheat, if you cheated somebody out of 1 carat of gold and 10,000 watches, you can make a lot of money. It can be 15 karat gold or 16 karat gold, but it better be 14 karat. And if it says 18, it better be 18 karat gold, or else you won't have the watch. Every one of them has got a seal in it. Now, I'll tell you something. Seiko watches, Seiko means perfection in Japanese, by the way. Seiko watches really keep good time. The quartz watches and everything. The adjustments started in watches, started back by Webb C. Wall. The railroads had to run on time, and so did shipping. They had to have things, and they would have train wrecks. They had terrible train wrecks, and because trains would run together on tracks and smash and kill people. And remember the old story about Casey Jones? Remember that story about Casey Jones? Well, that was a story of a real story. And these trains ran together out in the, and just scattered people. And they say that corn and stuff still grows out there where those things were for almost 100 years. It was still growing where that train wreck was. Those trains just smashed together. Well, they had Webb C. Ball was a timekeeper, and every man on the railroad had to take their watch to him, and he checked that watch in an oven and in a ice box and checked it for all those positions. And it had to be made a certain way. And it had to be plainly, you had to take the face of the watch off and set it with a lever so nobody could accidentally pull the stem out and wind it when they're winding it and make them move the time, because people's lives depended on it. All right? Well, when I bought this watch, it was a beautiful thing, and it was solid 14 karat gold. I really liked that watch, but it would never keep time. I took it to about 5 watchmakers. They weren't watchmakers. They were wannabe watchmakers. And they would work on this watch. And they just made a mess out of it. Matter of fact, I took it over. I found a real good watchmaker over in Stalvane, California. And I took this watch over there to him, and I said, I've had this watch every place, and it won't keep time at all. I said, I know you're a watchmaker. I said, can you look at it and see what happens? And he checked that thing out. He looked in. He said, this thing has been worked on 10 times by bad watchmakers. He said he messed up the balance wheel, the balance staff. It's all messed up. But he said, I can rebuild it. But he said, it's going to take a lot of work to go back and straighten out all the problems and mistakes that they made. So he did. Now, it keeps time like Rolex. It keeps time like your Seikos.
I had
it back.
I was talking at the parking phone.
Found that
one. I did. I don't wear watches.
But the thing was, there's a lot of false religions out in the world that say that they're leading people to Jesus Christ. They're like them false watchmakers. They say they were watchmakers. For this watch to really be fixed and really work, it had to be taken to the real watchmaker. Ben M. Bogart, remember, you heard of Ben M. Bogart. He said one time, he said, Baptist churches are like watches. He collected watches too. He was a horologist. You know what a horologist is? That's somebody that studies timekeeping pieces, watches and clocks. He was a horologist, and he talked about how Baptist churches were like clocks. And he said one thing about it. He said, if something goes wrong with the clock, you've got to go back to the clock fixer, to the watch fixer, because anybody else will mess it up. If you want the absolute truth, you better go to one of the Lord's churches and listen to the truth, all the truth, not some cultism, something in the world, because all they'll do is mess it up. They'll mess up baptism, they'll mess up the Lord's Supper, they'll mess up salvation or something. Well, that thing works now. I'm thankful. So I won't hold you longer. The last time I wore that watch, I don't know. The class was still listening, so that was all right. Anyway, do you have any Bible questions today?
Well, would you mention that? I think that they heard on news about that disaster. They claimed it happened about 250 million years ago, and that's in their teaching when the devil came and demolished the earth.
All right, we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Tony, could you lead us in prayer?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come for you to you this morning to ask your blessing on this class and all the prayer requests that were mentioned, Father. And we pray that you be with Jim and his new attorney, that you might give him the wisdom and the power to do what he needs to do, to do the right thing, Father. And we pray that you be with J.R. son and help him to find a job. He'll be graduating this quarter, and we pray, Father, that you would guide him to a good job with a company, with a Christian company, Father. He'll be able to use his schooling. We pray for all the unspoken requests, Lord, and we pray that you be with Jim and bring us this lesson and can take it to heart and use it throughout the week. Thank you for all that you've received.
Amen.
Yeah, we need to pray for my son to find a job.
All right, that's important. That's important. That's really important. Finding the right job, communicating with the right people and things in your lives. That's really important. Really important.
He's an MIS student. That's a computer. See, that's a computer.
Is your computer go up there?
If, how many of you heard the television program this last week? My wife was watching television now. And they were talking about, they thought that, they don't know how the world, you know, happened or anything. If they just read the Bible, they figure it out. Okay? I will tell you, this is truth that we're talking about here. The Bible, that's truth. And you can, all the scientific guesses and brainstorms that they have, if you'll take them and compare them with the Word of God, some things really happened back in the past. You know, they came up with the idea that everything in the universe came into existence at one time. That's what happened. It was called the Big Bang Theory. Remember that one? Everything was exploded. And they say that they could record the sound of the bang that's just echoing through the universe. Well, that bang was, it says, let it be. It was God speaking and making things like they are, creating things like they are. Well, 250 million years ago. Now, they said there was a tremendous catastrophe happened on the earth, and about 90 to 98% of all life on the earth was destroyed. We know in Genesis 1 and 1 that God created the heavens and the earth. And the word created there meant they were finished. That was a finished product. Genesis 1 and verse 1. Okay? And then Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, and the earth, she became formless and void. All right? And it says that God's, the Spirit God, the Holy Spirit, brooded over the faces of the deep and the darkness that was there. And then God said, let light become. And light became. And in King James it says, and then there was light. It wasn't then there was light. Light became. It was darkness before that. Well, they say back 250 million years ago, some terrible thing from outer space hit this earth. Some asteroid or something hit the earth and completely killed all the life on the earth. The Bible says that sometime, a long time ago, when Satan rebelled against God, Satan was over the material creation of God. He was over the material realm of God. Okay? Gabriel, there are three angels, okay, from what we find in the Bible, three archangels. Gabriel, he's over the communication realm. He communicates to people and things, whatever he wants to do. And then we have Michael. Michael is over the spiritual realm, very powerful, God's warrior angel, okay? And his name, who is like God. And then there was Lucifer over the material creation of God. He was the caretaker, the administrator, as we say. You know, dispensations of time, stewardships of times, administrations of time. Lucifer was over that. Well, all the creation of God throughout all the universe, and I don't know how much planets and things that are out there that have been damaged by what Lucifer did when he rebelled against God. But we live on this planet. This planet was tremendously tore up. How many of you have worked in the oil fields and drilled oil wells and stuff? I used to be a derrick man in the oil fields and drilled some and roughnecked and everything. You did some of that too, Libby. I've drilled core drillings down in the ground. They'll go in, they'll drill have a core barrel, and they'll drill. It's like a donut cutter or something, you know. It cuts out, and this formation that it drills through goes up into this deal. And then you take this out of the ground, you pull this pipe out of the ground, and you push this up, hydraulically pump it out, or whatever, however they get it out of these different core samples. And then you can look at the different cores that are down there a mile deep, 2 miles deep in the ground, 3 miles almost.
That's some place. They take samples.
Yeah, they take samples. You can go down and shoot core and take core samples shooting off into the strata. Well, I have seen animals' bodies, clam shells, all kinds of stuff down there, miles deep in the ground. They see this stuff up there. How on earth did it get there? The Bible says that the earth became an absolute glob. A glob. God created, there was plant life all over the earth. The earth was like this, round. And there was land like this, and then water over here. After he recreated it, we know it was like this at least. I don't know how it was before. But there was land and water on the earth. There were a lot of creatures on the earth at that time. A lot of animals. There was swimming animals. There were bugs and insects. All kinds of things. And cockroaches.
Yeah, they'll be here when the atomic bombs out there.
They were back then. They were alive. Okay? But when that thing hit the earth 250 million years ago, they say, and by the way, this 250 million years, it could have been that long ago, but it might not have been either. It might have been one-tenth that long, or it might have been a billion years ago. I don't know, and the Bible doesn't say when this happened. Anyway, it says, Spirit God hovered over the faces of the deep, and darkness was all over. Well, when this happened, the lights didn't shine, and the earth, and the stars didn't shine. The planet, the star is like the sun. There are a lot of suns out there in the universe. There was nothing shining. It was all darkness. The whole earth was just covered with a glob. This thing that had plants and trees and all kinds of stuff. Up where I used to live in Fish Lake Valley, up on White Mountain up there, there are trees up there that were here when Noah was on earth, when Noah and when Adam was on the earth. Trees up there that are that old. But this is before that. Before that. But there were trees and plant life and animals on the earth. As far as I can tell, Satan just took and... Have you ever seen a real bad kid just have an absolute conniption fit and tear up his whole room, everything, and kick and just stomp and tear up everything? He'd be out making something. These little kids would be playing together, and they'd be out there making a sand castle. And they got this sand castle made, and he just goes over and just kicks that whole thing to pieces and just smashes it all up where there's nothing left of the beauty of what they've been doing. I remember one time I had a friend, Gary Harwell, and he was the most honored thing. He's still my friend. But boy, I mean, talking about having trouble over the years. And I've always been in the radio since I was a little bitty kid. I always loved to listen to radio, long-distance radio and stuff, ham radio. And I was about 7 years old, something like that, younger than my daughter. And I had gone out there and I had made this big grid up. And I had taken little wires. I found some wires, some copper wire off of something. And I was making a grid to pick up these radio signals. And I was going to make myself an antenna to hook on this old radio that I had gotten hold of from the old House of Bargains down there. When they had this old radio, I think somebody loaned me a dollar or two to buy this radio, and I had a big old Zenith Oceanic or something. And you could pick up these long-distance stations, and I wanted a better antenna, so I was out there making one. And I had been working on this thing for days, soldering these wires on there, and it was just a big grid like this with these fine wires all over it. Gary comes up there and says, Jimmy, what are you doing? I said, I'm making an antenna. I didn't play like most kids did. I made things all the time. He goes, now let me look at that thing. He goes, and it tears all those wires, just destroys my week's work in moments. I tried to kill him. Can you do that again? Boy, I picked up a big thing of lead. I was soldering that thing together. I had a thing of lead. And I sailed that thing right in his head. If I'd have hit him, I'd have killed him. Boy, he made me mad. But the devil did that to God's creation. When he got mad, when he went up and tried to overthrow God, and he couldn't do it, he tore up the creation of God that he was supposed to have been taking care of. He tore it up. And it was just an absolute just mess. I think that he took asteroids and threw them at the earth. It says that they have found down deep in the earth extraterrestrial elements and things that didn't come from this earth. I can tell you where it came from.
There's one in Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, well, I've been there. I've got pieces of that thing. But these things that are there, they said down miles deep in the ground, there were pieces from outer space down that deep. How did it get there? Well, it must have just died. An asteroid must have hit the earth. I can tell you exactly from the Word of God how it got there, and I'm not guessing. They're guessing. I'm not guessing. It's not because I'm smart, simply because I'm a student of the Word of God. And if these scientists would start off with the Bible, they could do a lot more investigation. A lot better investigation. And they said, then the dinosaur ages came after that. I've seen those dinosaur bones down deep in the ground also. Satan might have destroyed this earth and then just worked on it some more later. I don't know. But also the flood happened. The universal flood happened. It happened. God, in the days of Noah, flooded the whole earth. How many of you ever been on an airplane? Hi. Yeah. You can look down on the earth and you can see those flood patterns. It's unbelievable until you get up there and look at what happened down there. You can see where the flood happened. You can see it. All you have to do is go out here, Shark's Tooth Mountain and stuff. Half of this place was underwater at one time. And we know when. Of course, God divided the earth in the days of Pele. And he split it apart. Maybe some of it was down on the earth, became up on top of the earth or whatever. There are inland salt seas that took place at that time. But the earth was an absolute gob. Just like my antenna turned into nothing but broken wires and those sandcastles that just kicked to pieces that were beautiful. That's what Satan did to the creation of God.
He wanted to be like God.
He wanted to be a God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to take and say, God, move over. A God created Lucifer, beautiful. Satan is not ugly. Satan is beautiful. Satan is beautiful. God created this Lucifer, the light carrier. He was beautiful. And it says in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 that he was so proud because of his beauty. He could sing better than anybody. He had the most beautiful voice in the world, in the whole universe. Singing praises to God too once. He sang praises to God, but all of a sudden he turned on God. All of us have a choice in life. What you do with your life before you save, what you do with your life after you save, and then when we're gone from this life, then we don't have any more choices. You made them here. You either go to heaven or to hell. All right? Angels had the same choices that you have, except they can't be redeemed back. I mean, they didn't have a father named Adam, and they didn't procreate and have more angels and stuff like that. And races of them over and over and over. But man does that. And so we are, because of our father Adam, we need to be redeemed back to God. And Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he is our redeemer. Jesus Christ never died for one angel. Did you know that? Not one angel. He died for the creation that he had made, the physical and material creation of God, because he's going to redeem that back by his blood and mankind. Who was over the material creation of God in the Garden of Eden? Who was over it? No, well, he was too.
Adam was.
Satan was, or Lucifer. We have to remember that his name, Satan, means the opposer. the ones it stands against. Actually, when Lucifer was doing what he's supposed to, he was Lucifer. When he rebelled against God, he became to be known as Satan or Apollyon. What is the word Apollyon? Remember the great angel over the bottom of this pit called Apollyon in the book of Revelation?
The destroyer.
The destroyer. What do you think he's called, the destroyer?
I was going to ask you a question on that. I mean, since his name changed, I mean, because Lucifer means light bearer. Right?
Yes.
Okay, and if his name changed from there to Satan, would his appearance change too? Or
God changed his name. God changed his name because why did God change his name? Because he changed. The American Indians had a deal. When you were born, you had a name. When you grew up, you had another name. And that name changed to something about you. When you were born, you had a name. My daughter's name in Indian is Blue. Dakota's name, she has an Indian name, Dakota, which means one of the human beings. Okay? I even spell it right. That's the way you say it, Dakota. You don't say it Dakota, but Dakota. It's got H on the end of it. That's the way Indians. Even North and South Dakota, the Dakota people, the Sioux people gripe when the white man spelled their name of their country wrong.
That's my oldest son's nickname, Blue.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Blue was her name because she was born and she was blue. She was almost dead. She was blue. And then when they were grown, they had a new name. One of the great chiefs of the Comanches was named Quanah Parker. Cynthia Ann Parker was his mother. She was a white woman. And his mother had called him Quanah, which means sweet smelling in Comanche. And he loved her so much that he never would change his name. He had a baby name all of his life. All right, that's Quanah Parker. Well, they would change her name. And God has done that in the Word of God, too. Look at Jacob. Jacob means James. My name is Jacob, okay? But his name is Trickster. That's what Jacob means. It means one who grabs by the heel, one who trips up, and one who causes another to stumble, okay? That was his name. When he was finally saved and turned around in his life, what did God do?
Changed his name to Israel.
His name to Israel. Abram meant exalted father. Abram. Okay? Abram was named exalted father. When he changed his name, what was his name?
Abraham.
Look at this. Now, this is Hebrew, by the way. Elohim in Hebrew that's Elohim. I mean, you can't read it, but that's what it looks like basically. Okay. Aleph Lamet Het, and this is the mem here. Alright, you write it backwards in Hebrew, okay? And there's pointings underneath it also, too. But I'm not going to put them, they don't mean anything to you anyway. Okay? But that's how you say it. Elohim. This is a plural word right here, him. Hashemayim. That's the word for heavens. It means uplifted waters. In the heavens, above is what? Clouds, uplifted waters. Alright? Hashemayim, im on the end of these words. Im. So we have a plural ending to Abraham's name. I don't know whether you ever told this or I haven't ever told this to you before. Im. Abraham. Plural. Father of many multitudes. Everybody in the Middle East, just about, has Abraham to their father. All the Arabs, all of them. All the Jews, all of those people, their father is Abraham. And here this man was 100 years old before he had the promised child. He had one child before that, Ishmael. All right? Ishmael. But then he had, what was the promised one's name? Laughter.
Laughter.
Because he laughed at God. You know what? That man had more sons after that. After Sarah died, he took more wives and he had more children. And they became great nations over all over the whole country. Children all over that place. Enum on the end of it, father of multitudes. Okay? I'll throw that one at you. I don't know if I'd ever taught you that before or not. Even.
You know, I was going to ask you, like, I got a lot of Arab neighbors. I live in a big complex. And I see the list of names all the time. Anyway, a lot of them got Ali. And there's Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them got Ali.
Yeah, well, that was...
Or if it ain't the first name, Muhammad, it's the middle name Muhammad.
Yeah, well, Muhammad was the founder of Islam, all right.
And, but a lot of them have Ali.
Ali. Yeah.
And a lot of them are not...
Allah, that's the root of Allah, which means God.
A lot of them are not directly...
What is the name of a lot of little Spanish children?
Jesus.
What is Jesus? Jesus. All right. And they give that name to the children. Because some of you guys get chilly?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. A little bit. If you want to turn that thing, just turn that thing down to off and it won't come on anymore. Okay? Anyway, names were changed because of the way that people acted. Okay? That's what happened with Lucifer. That's what happened with Abraham. That's what happened with Jacob. Their names were changed. Even Sarah's name was changed. Yes, brother.
I'm going to ask you a question. It might be a stupid question or not, but you know, like the way our names are, you know what I mean, like our parents gave our names or whatever?
Uh-huh.
You kind of want, I always kind of wonder, sometimes the names that your parents give you, I mean, is there
does
any
does it
way,
change you?
No, it might change me, but the name, could God have known that my name is going to be my name?
Person?
Or whatever.
A long time ago in Bible days, that happened, and the American Indian made a lot over names.
Yeah.
But the people today really don't, I don't think they really think that the name is really a prophetic name. In the Bible days, it was.
I'll tell you one thing. I drank my son's name before he was born, mm-hmm. and didn't know how to spell it.
Yeah.
And didn't know why I had a name in that.
Yeah.
It bothered me for a week.
What was that now?
Isaiah.
You didn't even know how to spell it.
Didn't know how to spell it. I had to look it up in the Bible to mm-hmm. find it.
Yeah. Well, you think about that. What was somebody I know dreamed that they? Oh, I remember. I talked to my friends Phil and Paula up in Nevada the other day, and their daughter just had a little girl, and she named that little girl a name that she was going to name her. She named her baby doll when she was a little girl, 5 and 6 years old. She said always when she said, "When I have a little girl, I'm going to name it this name," and it was some weird name, some little baby name, but that's what she named her daughter. We think about things like that. But I don't really think today, when you do things, that that has anything to do with what you are. But in the Bible days, those names were really prophetic. The first 10 names from Adam were all prophetic about Christ and about things that they would do in their life, too. Let's go on now a little bit. Where did we finish, Tony, in this? The book of Exodus so long ago.
Yeah, we're in
25:31. Chapter 25 and verse 31. Okay, we're talking about the tabernacle, and you know I had some charts here on the tabernacle for you, and here's one of them right here. Okay, I was making some of these. I don't know where in the world they are. I found one of them. Oh, looky here. I think I found some more. Look at this.
Yes.
All right. I don't know about it. Thank you too long. Probably will have anybody for it after they are doing it. There's another one. I'm going to give you one of these.
You're
going to give one to my wife.
Yeah.
That's a six.
That's
a
lady. Okay.
All right. Look at this. Now, Ben M. Bogard put this chart together about 100 years ago, to tell you the truth. All right. And it tells you about the offering. In the Old Testament, these things that we're studying right now tells you about the history of prophecy and so on. He would go, this is called a Bible analysis chart. By the way, I might teach that in the discipleship class. I might teach a class on Bible analysis. Bible interpretation, how to analyze and interpret the Bible. Can't see that chart with my glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
That's something else when you get old, Brother Levine. I told him earlier this morning, he was talking about old people, and I said, wait just a minute, nobody's old unless they're over 100. And when I get close to that, I'm going to say they're not old. They just look that way. Just I saw a sign when I was a little kid out on Pismo Pier. When I'd go over there, there was this old Italian man named Tony that knew my step-grandfather. And his name was Tony. He was an old fisherman. He carried a little old red cart, little wagon thing they take out there, and on the back of it says, old fishermen never die. They just smell that way. Well, when you... kind of like when you're getting old. You here Wednesday night?
Yeah,
when that thing was having clips and fits?
Yeah.
It had clips and fits on the tape, too.
Oh, really?
If all the things that you saw that machine doing, it was doing on the tape. So all those guys got a little laughter. Dakota watched that thing and laughed like she was watching home video or whatever, that crazy stuff on TV. You know what it was doing to me? It was bouncing me on my head, turning me upside down. I'd go hop over here and hop over there. It was moving me all around on the screen and turning me upside down, sideways, and it just bounced me. And I go boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it was going through all of its functions. All the weird little functions it can do. The little, what do you call it, special effects. I tell you. I watched it and I was laughing too. Well, see, if you have the brazen altar, brass stands for judgment. Because Christ was our sin bearer, the judgment of God came down upon him. Okay? See, all of these different things you can study. There's the brazen altar, the laver, a type of spiritual cleansing. And in the church age, it's a type of baptism also. The showbread, the Lord's Supper, and also that it typifies the Lord's Supper. It typifies that bread that we eat that typifies the broken body of Jesus Christ. See? And it also represented all the tribes of Israel, how that Jesus Christ died for all of them. Okay? The candlestick, the Word of God giving light to the churches. Incense, the prayers of God's people, and the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ for us. Remember where that was in the Bible? It wasn't the Lord's Prayer. What was it? John the 17th chapter, where he prayed. Where he prayed for his disciples. Where he prayed. He prayed there in Gethsemane. Okay? That was the Lord's Prayer. Okay, the incense, the tabernacle, type of everything in the tabernacle was a type of Jesus. Everything in it was a type of Jesus. And you can secondarily look at it, it's a type of the Lord's churches in the world today. The tabernacle, or the temple was a type of Jesus also, but it was also a type of the Lord's churches in glory in that big city above. Okay, the Holy of Holies, that's a type of heaven itself. Anyway, I thought I'd give you this little chart. You can study this at home, and there's a lot of things in there that you might be in. I might teach this chart here one of these days. Okay? Verse 31, and you shall make a lampstand of pure gold, and the lampstand its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. You know, Jesus Christ, not one bone of him was broken. The lamb that was sacrificed on the day of Yom Kippur, at the Passover, that lamb could not be broken. No bone of it could be broken. And it had to be eaten whole, didn't it? By a whole family, everybody in the family, or else they'd get an extended family and bring them in. And all of these people would eat all of the lamb. All right? Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world and all of mankind, not limited atonement. By the way, we get that in hyper-Calvinism today. Brother.
When you said that about that they had to eat the whole thing, and if they couldn't eat it, they'd bring somebody else.
Yes.
Is that like to bring in the Gentiles?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had a family big enough to eat all of it, okay?
Jesus
Christ.
What Jews, they mean, like their slaves or whatever.
There's so many types in this thing. There are direct types, primary types, and there are secondary types and all of it. The primary type of the tabernacle is the Lord's work in salvation. The secondary type of it is the type of the church. Everything in that typifying something about the Lord's churches. Okay? Verse 32, and the six branches shall go out from its sides, and three branches on the lampstand from one side, and three branches on the lampstand on the other side, and three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms, and the one branch a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms on the other branch, and a bulb and a flower for its six branches going out to the lampstand. And in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, and its bulbs and its flowers. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of the branches coming out of it. It's talking about a beautiful piece of work. All right?
What almond?
The almond tree is the tree, the first tree to bloom in springtime. The first tree to bloom. It tells us something's coming. The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. And there was a lap link in the administration of the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets. All the law that we're talking about right here when John started preaching was done away with. The Sabbath, ceremonial law, all of the law was done away with when John started preaching. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the Sabbath, the one that was given to the God's people in the Garden of Eden, was done away with because Jesus is our Sabbath. If you ever run into a Seventh-day Adventist, all right, it does away with all the law. The law and the prophets were until John, all right, and then even the Sabbath, the pre-Sabbath law, the pre-Sabbath keeping was done away on the cross of Calvary. He did that. All of that was done away with. The law and the prophets were until John. Because why? Who was John? He was the forerunner of the Christ. All of the law and all the prophets portrayed one thing. Christ. When the Messiah came, why should they even be preached? Why should you even do it one more ceremony? Because the real thing is here. The real one is on the scene. Why in the world talk about types when the real one is here? Okay? The law and the prophets were unto John. When the real Christ came on the scene, they were done away with.
Yeah. So were the seven bulbs that signified the completion?
Yes. Seven? Uh-huh. Six bulbs, typifies the 6 days in which God worked. He worked. He rested on the Sabbath. Six is also the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. Six, okay? Four cups, and the almond blossom, the almond tree is the one that blossoms. The second coming, it says, watch the, he said, you watch you talk about it raining, and you talk about all of this, and you look at the sky and you say it's red, there's going to be a storm coming, so on and so forth, and you know that rain's coming. He said, but look, there are signs that portray the second coming. And he talked about the signs in the last part of the book of Matthew.
Today's sermon day, he talked about the first rain, the second rain in the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first rain in the book of James, that's the one that got us. That's the one that made the seed sprout. The second rain is the one that made it come on up until it was produced. All right. If you got the first rain, you had to have the latter rain, the second rain, or else you wouldn't have a crop.
Yeah.
All right. That's what it's talking about. And pay attention to the signs, the simple things of life. We know when ants start crawling out and everything else, and when flies come into the door and start getting under the eaves, we know that the cold is coming and it's going to rain. Nature, things teach you, well, the second coming of Christ is the same thing. This first coming of Christ was the same thing, too. The first coming, it told them what would happen. They knew that Jesus, the Messiah, was on the earth. Israel knew that. But when he came, their administration was over with. When John started preaching, the law was over. Their administration was done with. They had flopped, kaput. They didn't do what they were supposed to. Lampstand has four cups like almond blossoms, and its blossoms and its flowers, and a bulb shall be under the first pair of the branches and coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of the branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of the branches coming out of it, the six branches coming out of the lampstand, their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece. See that? One piece with it. All of it shall be one piece hammered work, pure gold. What does gold stand for in the Bible? Divinity. Divine. All right, like the blood of Jesus Christ, it was divine blood. It wasn't human blood, it was divine. Okay? Then you shall make its lamps seven in number. Here's the seventh. All right. The lamps are seven in number. And they shall mount its lamps as so to shed light on the space in the front of it. All right. And its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. The snuffers, what was a snuffer? That's how you put the lamp out. All right. The snuffer. A couple of snuff dishes, I think, in King James. But anyway, they were supposed to keep this lamp going. They of course, you have to shut the lamp out to and pour oil in each one. This was olive oil, pure olive oil that was burning. Okay? It was burning in these things. And it had a little wick in it. This was ancient. They didn't have light bulbs, all right, back then. Verse 26, or chapter 26. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen. Blue. What does blue stand for? Heaven above. Purple. What's that color stand for?
Royalty.
And scarlet. The blood of Jesus Christ. And material you shall make them with cherubim, the work of skillful workmen. Cherubim. Why, God always has angels do His messengers. Angels are His messengers. Alright? And these messengers stood around over, they were supposed to be woven into the tapestry around this tabernacle. Angels standing there. Little embroidered angels standing, ministering for God. And the length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits. And the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And all the curtains shall have the same measurement. All right. Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. No matter what part we're looking about Christ, Jesus Christ was God. He continued to be God. John 1 and 1, I keep pounding that verse into you. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being toward the God, and Jehovah kept on being God. Jehovah means He who shall become. John 1:14 says, and the Word, Jehovah, became flesh. Jesus didn't cease being God when He became flesh. You know what happened? He became your Redeemer when He became flesh. He was your kinsman Redeemer, so He could redeem you back to Himself. Alright? All the same measurements. Jesus was God and man at the same time to be able to redeem us. All these things. Ground is what?
Earth.
All right? The Lord redeemed the earth back from Satan. Oh, wood. Wood. Humanity. Everything in there, all of the Ark of the Covenant, all of these things were wooden, but covered with pure gold. What does that mean? That Jesus was man, but God too. He never ceased being God. He didn't cease being God. Even when He became flesh, He was still God, the God of heaven. But He subjected Himself to the hateful outbursts and manic rages of humankind and put up with the slappings and the spitting and everything on Him that happened to Him. He did it for you and for me. He did it to save us from sin. He did. He died for the sins of all mankind. Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, whosoever might, that's subjunctive mode. That's up to the person. Whosoever might believe in Him might have eternal life. Subjunctive mode again. Every time in the Bible where it talks about believing, it leaves something to you. You do it. Thank you for your attention today. It's 12 o'clock. See, my watch didn't run to 12:30. Stopped at 12 o'clock or 11:45 today. It's really working. I took it to the real watchmaker.
It is working too fast.
It's running too fast, brother. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the people here that study your word. And for those out there that are studying this, these tapes, we thank so much of all of them. And today, by the way, Kevin Perney and Idaho Falls, Idaho, has other people that study with him there and his group. Charles is one of them. Hello, Charles. Amy and Steve Brigman in South Carolina. Eddie Pratt in Nevada. And Jerry Aronson in Oregon. And Nick Nicolai in Woodby, Washington. And all the people out there that are on these places. Hello to all of you. From the class. You're dismissed, and God bless everyone of you.